Governor Brian Sandoval is headed to the legislature today looking for Republican votes for his controversial budget. Yes, Republican votes. And the question is, will the governor get enough support from his own party? Only time will tell, but that has not stopped him from asking for tax increases to boost school funding, rather. So far, the biggest cry against the governor's budget has come from Sandoval's own Republicans, who own majorities in the Senate and Assembly. For the most part, Democrats appear to like the budget because of its emphasis on improved school funding. Yet the governor will apparently have a fight on his hands. Business groups have already said they don't like it, and for a variety of reasons. We are going to learn more about that now, and we begin our conversation about the governor's proposed $7 billion-plus budget with Brian Wachter. He's Director of Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. Brian Wachter, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
To the layperson, the governor's proposal seems pretty simple. He wants to increase business licensing fees based on gross receipts, so license fees of $200 could increase anywhere from between $400 and $2.6 million. Yet you've described the governor's proposal as confusing. Confusing how? In what way?
Well, it's I think, a misnomer to suggest that it's simple. What you have is a graduated business tax rate based on gross receipts. So a company would have to determine what their gross receipts are. If you're a multi-state corporation, you have to determine what your Nevada receipts would be versus the rest of the country's receipts. And then based on a formula that isn't entirely explained in the bill but is provided in the bill, you would then choose a particular NAIC code. So in this case, to make it easy, you might choose retail trade, even though your particular business may engage in warehousing, transportation, retail, maybe entertainment. You might fall on a couple different codes, but you would pick the code that you would ultimately then argue with the tax department over. You pick that code, and then you would apply a specific rate based on that code to your gross receipts taxes. And then you would pay a flat fee to your business license based on that calculation on your gross receipts tax.
Okay, so you've got codes, you've got multi-state confusion, things of that sort, and all of them centered around gross receipts. Are there other elements of the budget that the Retail Association does not specifically like?
No, for the most part, the Retail Association is pleased, and actually we congratulate the governor on his leadership for the budget itself in terms of where he wants to spend state resources. There are a couple issues, you know, within the education budget that we particularly, you know, it's a preference thing, we might not agree with versus everything else, but we would give the governor full credit for determining where he wants to spend the money. The question that we have is a gross receipts tax the appropriate vehicle to fund that budget? And we disagree.
Now, Governor Sandoval has argued that without improved schools, Nevada won't be able to compete in the marketplace, which is kind of it's not really something that people would necessarily argue against. But with that in mind, how else would the Retail Association want to increase school funding in the state?
Well, the state of Nevada has actually quite a few taxes already on the books that could be drastically improved. Sales tax, for one, needs to take into account internet sales. We've been having this conversation for quite a while. It's time for Nevada to jump on board and require internet companies to collect sales tax. We need to look at the live entertainment tax and look at all the different companies and events that aren't subject to that tax that should be. We need to look at the existing modified business tax, which I think it's important to note the governor isn't getting rid of the modified business tax. The gross receipts tax is on top of the current modified business tax. But the modified business tax has been narrowed since its inception in 2003. The last time it was narrowed was under Governor Sandoval when he increased the exemption from $50,000 a quarter to $85,000 a quarter. So we need to do some things to our existing revenue streams that would make them better, more efficient, and would actually bring in more dollars before we look at something that is incredibly new, incredibly unpredictable, and is based on not a company's willingness to or ability to provide a profit in their business, but just based on gross receipts.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Brian Wachter, Director of Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. And joining us now is Assembly Majority Leader Paul Anderson. The Las Vegas Republican is pushing for passage of the governor's budget. Assemblyman Anderson, welcome back to KNPR.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. The Las Vegas Sun reported on Tuesday that different business groups are working on alternatives. You've heard Brian Wachter ticking off a few possible proposals. Mining says the proposal is confusing. The Nevada Trucking Association says it's unfair to interstate trucking operators. The Brothel Association says the fee will put some of them out of business. Do you expect the governor to give in to some of these different business interests and change his plan?
I'm not sure if it's a give in or not give in. Mm-hmm. I think the governor has been great about communicating how they're preparing to present, the willingness to talk about different paths to the same solutions that he's proposed. I would echo Brian's comments that we're all very impressed with the bold measures that the governor's put forth. But he's proposing a path to get to the success. And we've consistently been talking about different paths to get to that same goal.
The Gwynn Center for Policy Priorities has just released its analysis of the proposal, and it says the proposal has got to be clear about how the business license fee rates are calculated. So with that in mind, is there a clear formula?
Well, that'll be, I guess, a good question to ask today at the hearing. The formula itself is a bit convoluted. But like any bill, as soon as it comes out, it's not exactly in perfect condition. And if that's the plan that we need to go down, then there's going to be a lot of clarification that's required. But I think that in its current form, it is a bit convoluted, not quite as clear as I believe they would have hoped it to be.
Okay. In using the word convoluted, I guess, do you support it, even though it may well be convoluted? Do you think this is something that can be smoothed out in the next 10 weeks of the legislative session?
Well, I'll certainly hold back my support or not based on the hearings and the changes to the language and what other alternatives there are. In my case, I pay the modified business tax in the business that I own. It's a very simple, essentially a single form, very predictable, very easy to understand, exactly what it's going to be every single quarter just based on what your payroll is, versus this plan that would take my $200 a year fee and raise it to close to $4,500 a year. Now, that doesn't mean I'm unwilling to pay that fee. It's just that it's unclear as to which category I would fall into. As my revenue changes, how quickly my rate would adjust, and there's just a lot of questions. In the IT world, you sell products, you sell services. So am I a retailer or professional services, and do I have any flexibility in changing that depending upon what rates are given to each industry? It gets a little confusing, and you worry about the loopholes and the concerns about it generating the revenue that it's purported to generate.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm hearing you, Assemblyman Anderson, talking about this, and the licensing fees for you may go from $200 to $4,500, and I'm hearing a lot of kind of ambiguity in some of the things you're describing. And here you are. You're the Assembly Majority Leader. I would imagine you could probably appreciate that other organizations, I'd mentioned the Nevada Trucking Association, the Brothel Organization, and others would have great reservations about this if it's kind of a hard thing even to explain at this point.
Sure. Those are all valid points. I mean, it's something that, only a few states have. I guess my biggest fear in all of this is facing what I believe to be very important reforms, very important investments, and I think most everyone's on board with that idea, on a tax that's new to this state, unproven revenue structure that we're going to base these forms of investments on, and that's going to take a lot of time for us to digest and better understand. And I think that's where a lot of our consternation comes from, is we agree on the goal in many respects, but we're not quite sure this is the exact path. But I'm certainly open to hearing what the governor has to say, and I appreciate the fact that he's been open to listening to us and other plans that might get us there.
Yeah. Well, now, while I've described you as pushing for passage of the governor's budget, I'm also not hearing rock solid support from start to finish on this on your part. Is that accurate? Am I hearing you accurately?
Well, no. I think what you're hearing is that we're in the middle of the process, that the governor and all of the agencies have had 18 months to work through some very tough decisions and planning. We've had so far a little over 60 days, right? So 7-8 weeks, I guess, we're into this. So you know, for me, we've heard all the agency requests in Ways and Means in our money committees. We're actually a little bit ahead of schedule, which is nice. We've been moving at a pretty good pace. And now's the time where we have to start making the decisions. And in a week from now, we start closing down budgets. And that means that we have to start making some of those harder decisions as to what's best for the state and what we can maybe prioritize versus have to hold back on.
You had described that your big fear as facing an investment process based on this new tax formula, not being sure of how it's going to work and such. In its analysis, the Gwynne Center also said Governor Sandoval needs to provide accurate estimates of the revenue created by the changing license fee. Right now, do you know what the state estimates the business license fee will create in new revenue?
Sure. The current estimate, if I've got it off the top of my head correctly, is $187 million in the first year and $250 million in the second year. Now, listeners are clear on the process for us. Our fiscal staff in the Assembly and Senate side need to be able to verify those numbers before we can budget upon them. So because an outside group or even the governor's office says it'll generate this much, if we can't confirm that and solidly put it onto the balance sheets, so to speak, it's very difficult to start budgeting from that type of starting point.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about Governor Sandoval's $7.3 billion budget proposal, which he unveils later today. It has already raised the hackles of some groups who say it is unfair or could hurt business. We are talking with Assembly Majority Leader Paul Anderson. Also with us is Brian Wachter, Director of Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. And I'm going to turn now to Matthew Taylor, President of the Nevada Registered Agents Association. Mr. Taylor says the state will lose more than $100 million in revenue over 2 years if the bill passes as proposed. Matthew Taylor, welcome to KNPR.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thousands of companies based in other states register with the Nevada Secretary of State to take advantage of the state's low license fees. You believe more than 100,000 businesses will dump Nevada and register instead with states like, say, Delaware, South Dakota. Why so?
Well, unfortunately, and that number is just the beginning. Mm. What that really means is Nevada's in the market of trying to attract businesses from outside of the state. We've been very successful in doing so, through legislative changes, through our favorable tax rates, legal protections for businesses. We currently have over 200,000 businesses here in the state of Nevada that have minimal presence and no employees here in the state. That said, it's a very highly volatile market. We are facing strict competition from Wyoming, from Delaware, and South Dakota, and a number of other states to try and court that business. And Nevada gets a great benefit from that. At current rates, we're raising roughly $65 million per year in revenue for those businesses that are coming here and doing business, bringing money to the state, but really not placing any burden on our resources. They don't drive on our roads. They don't have children in schools. They don't have that burden or that cost that we have to maintain. It's essentially free or very inexpensive money for the state.
Okay, but let me stop you there, Matthew Taylor, and just ask, if we lose these businesses where they don't actually have a physical presence here, they're Nevada businesses in name only, in paperwork only, I guess. If we lose these businesses, is this really a big loss for the state?
It is a big loss. Right now, like I said, we're making $65 million. Our studies are showing that we'll lose approximately 124,000 of those businesses by the end of 2017. Even with the increase at the bare minimum, leaving it at $525, the $400 for the business license and $125 for the state list of officers, we'll actually be making less money off those out-of-state businesses by the end of 2017 than we are making today at those rates.
Okay, so you think the governor is overselling this budget, not being truthful about the amount of revenue it will actually bring in?
I think it has nothing to do with his truthfulness or his intentions. I think that this issue hasn't been examined. They haven't looked at it, and they don't understand how delicate this market is and that this is going to be one of the consequences of raising this price from what was supposed to sunset into $100 this year and now doing a 400% increase for those businesses and taking it up to $400, probably $400.
We are talking about Governor Sandoval's budget proposal, $7.3 billion worth. He will unveil it later today before the Nevada legislature. Already it has drawn some pushback from some groups who say it is unfair or will hurt business. We're talking with Brian Wachter, Director of Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada, Matthew Taylor, President of the Nevada Registered Agents Association, and also with us is Assembly Majority Leader Paul Anderson. Assemblyman Anderson, I wanted to ask you about some of what you heard a couple of minutes ago from Mr. Taylor of the Nevada Registered Agent Association. Is equating lost fees with lost revenue. If Nevada-based businesses, even the ones that exist on paper but not necessarily in person, pull up stakes and go to other states with lower fees, this is something that has been discussed for quite a while now, for some decades, in fact, that these lost fees would equal lost business and lower revenues. What is your response to that?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, the goal that we're trying to achieve is education reform and investment, and that's absolutely paramount. I mean, it's important to both those who have students still attending, like I do, still in the school district, but also those that are looking at some future, you know, hopefully soon, to make Nevada home. And we simply can't grow our economy while we remain at the bottom of all these wrong lists, right? We've heard that before. If in a budget of $7.4 billion, I think $65 million was used as a reference. It's not going to have a significant impact in our business. Now, I don't want to lose any business. I think it's all good for the state. But if we're talking about companies that have no investment in the state, no skin in the game, receive all the benefits of being in the state, and I simply can't balance the equation on those folks versus everyone that's here has skin in the game and has a desire to move this state forward.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you accurately, lost revenue might be a concern, but it is not as large a concern as Mr. Taylor might make it out to be.
That sounds accurate.
Okay. Now, watching over all of this from his perch in the catbird seat in the gallery, Steve Sebelius, political columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Steve, welcome back to KNPR.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You've noticed, like everyone else, that one of the silent players so far has been big gaming. No complaints, no cheerleading. What are they thinking about this whole process? Or maybe more accurately, what are they waiting for?
Well, I think what they're thinking is that they don't want to make the same mistake they made in 2003 when they really cheerleaded for Governor Kenny Gwynne's gross receipts tax. And advocated for it. That kind of backfired on them. It was portrayed as gaming trying to tax other businesses, and that was one of the reasons that plan wasn't successful. So all that the industry has done so far, quite coyly, I think, is submit a copy of their annual report for the record to this hearing today, which basically demonstrates the economic impact of the gambling industry. So basically they're saying, look, we're a big part of the industry. We're going to pay this tax or whatever tax is passed, probably more so than any other business. And just a reminder, lawmakers, that you know, we're still a big player here. But they have not taken a position on this tax or any of the tax proposals, really. And so I think they're waiting to see what happens. But they're not going to take a high-profile role, at least at this point.
Well, gaming has always obviously been the biggest concern for state lawmakers in discussing things like this. But I'm wondering if, as you look at the position of the players at this point, is there a possibility that they could be on board, even though they would be subject to an increased entertainment tax, in part because gaming is looking at the long view, the notion that education is a hope for economic diversification down the road, and therefore, in the path down the road, there will be less reliance in the future on gaming taxes?
Well, I think we've already seen that. We've already seen a shift away from gambling taxes and more towards sales taxes and other taxes in support of the general fund. But yeah, I think the industry is in that position. Certainly Jim Murren said during the debate over question three, the unsuccessful education initiative, that he was going to be involved in trying to find a solution, that he had had difficulty getting workers here and companies here because of the education system, and he wanted to do something about it. And he repeated those comments more recently. I just think the industry doesn't want to become the focus of this because they don't want to be used as an excuse for businesses that don't want to pay this tax or any tax to get out of it. So they're keeping kind of a lower profile role. But if I had to guess, I would say that they're more supportive than not.
Okay, so what do you think Governor Sandoval is likely to say today when he goes before the Assembly? And what kind of rhetoric do you think is going to emerge?
Well, I think when he shows up at the Senate the Revenue and Economic Development Committee, he's probably going to say, look, this problem has persisted for a long time, long before I got here, and every governor has tried to deal with it in his own way. None have been successful. It's time we finally dealt with this problem, finally expanded our tax base to include all businesses, some of which pay nothing on their gross receipts right now, and fix this problem of education, which is the only real economic development program that will ever be successful in the state of Nevada. We can give away a lot of money to companies like Tesla to come here and do what they do, but ultimately education is the only way to really expand our economy. And oh, by the way, it's also an obligation that we owe to the children and to the next generation. And so this is a plan that I put forward to do it. And if someone has a better plan or if someone has tweaks to make this plan better, that's fine. But doing nothing is not an option, and we've got to do something now, and there is a sense of urgency. I think he'll say all of those things, and I think he'll find a very receptive audience.
All right, so he's already got much of the GOP, if not all of the GOP in the state, on his side, and he's got a pretty sizable number of Democrats on his side as well. And in putting this out there, who else needs persuasion at this point to support his plan?
Well, first of all, I think I don't know that we can say that he's got most of the GOP. I think he's got a lot of the moderate Republicans, the business-type Republicans, but there are still vehement opposition in the Assembly among some of the anti-tax Republicans to this plan, perhaps enough to block it, but maybe not. Second of all, the Democrats are not necessarily on board either. Senator Pat Spearman has introduced a competitive proposal, one that would impose a 0.0465% tax on all businesses' gross receipts above $100,000 in a given year, an approach that she says will not be subject to the uniform and equal argument that people are making against Governor Sandoval's tax plan, also eliminates the modified business tax, a.k.a. the payroll tax. Mm. So it remains to be seen if Democrats are going to coalesce around Senator Spearman's proposal as opposed to Governor Sandoval's proposal. So there still are some alternatives out there. Who I think he really needs to persuade, pardon me, is the business community. The Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce has not taken a position on this tax. I don't know if we will actually see a position offered by them on this but by the end of the session. But ultimately, he's got to bring those folks on board. Otherwise, it will be just a guerrilla war in the legislature as people try to pick off lawmakers one by one to vote for one proposal or another.
Okay, so we're talking here about the most powerful Republican in the state of Nevada. He ran pretty much unopposed last fall. So he's put this forward, and he's put a lot of his clout on the line with this. So I know, Steve, some months ago we talked and you said something like this was never going to pass the legislature. At this point, though, what could possibly scuttle Governor Sandoval's budget proposal?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. He has put all of his prestige on this. I mean, he is actually coming to the committee to present the bill himself. That's almost unprecedented. He has several of his predecessors who are going to speak in support of this. That's also unprecedented. So I think the pitfalls, as always, the legislative process really isn't designed to pass bills. It's designed to kill them. And this bill especially, because of the two-thirds requirement put in by former Governor Jim Gibbons, by the way, one of the only living governors who will not be speaking in support of this tax plan today, Jim Gibbons and the two-thirds really stands in the way. It's very easy to kill a bill like this, especially a bill that requires a supermajority. I think this is going to pass through the Senate without very much difficulty. The difficulty has always been in the Assembly, and that's where the battle is going to be.
All right, so Brian Wachter, you know, speaking as you do for the Retail Association of Nevada, if this does pass, if Governor Sandoval is able to muscle this through the legislature, what will the Retail Association of Nevada do, or at least attempt to do, in the near future? Could you see putting this on the ballot, perhaps? Would there be other possible strategies that you might undertake?
No, we don't prefer legislation to be passed by ballot. And as you know, we were one of the main figures in a $6 million ballot initiative this last time that defeated the latest version of the gross receipts tax. In fact, this is the only tax we're against, and we've been against it now consistently for a while. So this is the next, you know, iteration of a gross receipts tax, and of course we're against it because our position hasn't changed all that much. But you know, we'll pay the tax if it's what the legislature decides to do, if what the governor decides to do, and that he can actually get it done. I mean, we'll be providing our purview and our explanation of what the tax is going to do, and we think there are alternatives that are better than concentrating on grocery receipts. But we're very much part of the Nevada economy. We're the second largest employer industry in Nevada. We're here to stay. Our members aren't going to leave. But I would hope that the legislature and the governor would take a look at other paths to get to the same goal. And I think, you know, we confuse the two when we say the governor's budget. There's a spending plan and there's a tax plan. And the spending plan, I don't think, and I'll echo the comments of the majority leader, I don't think anyone's opposed to the spending plan. It's how to get there, how to raise it, that we're concerned about. So in terms of next steps, you know, we're concentrating until June, and we think we'll be successful. We've been successful in the past. Mr. Stabilius brought up 2003, and the Retail Association was a big part of that conversation as well. So we're looking towards June, but after that, we're looking to remain a large player in the Nevada economy.
So, Assemblyman Paul Anderson, in the course of the next week or so, what do you need to learn about Governor Sandoval's proposal, budget proposals, to be, in effect, to be completely behind it, to support it completely?
Well, I think first off, I want to say that I actually agree with most of what Stephen Sebelius said. So that's a bit of a shocker for me that I'm on board with a lot of his comments. I thought they were point on. We're taking it very seriously. You know, rarely does the Assembly and Senate meet together on the tax side of things. We've canceled all of our afternoon committees so that we can have a joint session with the Senate. So our Assembly tax and Senate revenues are meeting together. We've put it in a very large room, which, of course, we're going to draw a lot of folks anyway, but we've invited the entire delegation basically to attend or participate. This is us being focused on solutions. And I think that, I don't go back very far, but I think it's a rare instance that we're all at the table looking for a path to victory. And I think that's really the key here that I think is unlike other sessions. Nobody's being pushed into a corner. We're looking at the options. We're vetting them clearly. Both of our tax committees in Assembly and Senate have spent the last 2 months previewing different tax policies. So they're prepared to, you know, ask and understand whatever's brought to them at this point. And so I think that we're in a very unique position to get some solutions truly done that other legislative sessions have not been in that position before.
Republican Paul Anderson is Nevada's Assembly Majority Leader. Brian Wachter is Director of Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. Matthew Taylor is President of the Nevada Registered Agents Association. And Steve Sebelius is a political columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Thank you all for joining us today. Appreciate having you
here. Thank you, Dave.